This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Mo Naidu, Spiral, the Bitcoin design community, the Netherlands.
Nelson Mandela was a South African anti-apartheid activist and politician who served as the first president of South Africa. He was the country's first black head of a state and the first elected in a fully representative democratic election. Do you know Mandela's middle name, Rolihlahla, literally means troublemaker?
No.
Bitcoin current design isn't ready to onboard the masses.
No.
Kings of Leon is an American rock band formed in Nashville, Tennessee in 1999. The band is composed of brothers Caleb, Nathan and Jared Followill and their cousin Matthew Followill. Did you know they named themselves after their grandfather Leon, who died in 2014?
No.
A smoothie is a beverage made by pureeing ingredients in a blender. It has a liquid base such as fruit juice, milk, yogurt or ice cream. We were told that your favorite one is mango banana. Did you know the largest smoothie created in the world was 4,030 liters? It was created by Stichting Jaarmarkt, who is from the Netherlands.
No.
Your favorite holiday destination is Barcelona. Do you know it's Steph's favorite destination too?
No.
Have you ever had the chance to visit the Netherlands' most infamous Bitcoin cafe, The Rumor?
No.
When I first heard about Bitcoin, I knew I would end up working on improving it.
Yes.
Do you prefer a boil of Thai green curry over a stamppot boerenkool?
Yes.
The Green Mile is a 1999 American fantasy drama film directed by Frank Darabont and based on Stephen King's novel of the same name. It stars Tom Hanks as a death row prison guard during the Great Depression who witnesses supernatural events following the arrival of an enigmatic convict at his facility. Did you know 15 mice were used in the movie, each spent months being trained to do different tricks?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No!
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. Okay, this is a great start. This is episode 69 of Connect the World. This show is made possible by our friends from BL3P. You guys, thank you for helping us in our mission to connect the world with Lightning. Follow us on Twitter and subscribe at YouTube, of course. And you can find us in our Telegram groups. If you have a question, then don't wait and get to our Telegram groups and shout us. And a donation, of course, is always welcome.
Conecta el mundo.
And the highlight for this week. Steph, yeah. Again, bold.fun, yeah. Because, well, you know what bold.fun is, of course. It's a platform bringing together designers and builders and founders, all industry experts, and you don't need to be a super technical person. Everyone is welcome there to share knowledge. And this time I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Bolt Stories. And the reason why they built this was because they want to promote the idea of building in public and learning in public. I will share my screen.
And I'm curious, Mo, you know the project, right? Have you ever used it? Actually, are you active?
I helped out. John's the guy who heads up Bolt Fun. I worked together with him when they were pretty much building out the platform from scratch.
Oh, that's cool. So nothing you see here is new for you.
No, I mean, I went through the whole ideation process with them. It was really great to see them ideate and they had a really clear vision in mind of what they wanted to create. So it's super nice to see you guys presenting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the feed where you can talk, and their Nostr implementation, it's really great what they're doing. And well, this time it's about Bolt stories, and I was talking to John's together with Roman, and he said, well, Lana is an intern at Bolt.fun. She's a designer, and I wanted to show about the Bolt stories from her page. Because it shows the importance of sharing the process behind creating a final product. And for example, if we go to her latest story, that's this one. She talks about the challenge they had to redesign email templates to fit the Founders Club aesthetics to get people to apply for a membership. And of course, these are all things that you can during the process of building and creating. You found out a lot of difficulties or things that you need to ponder upon. And it's great to showcase it and to share it with others. And perhaps they give you some extra insights. And I also thought, I will stop my sharing the screen, because it's almost like the same comparable you can make with the artist's creative process, right? Because there you can inspire, educate others for a deeper appreciation of the work, and the process is even more important than the end result. So I think, it showcases the importance of the process. So focusing on that and then recognizing the value of continuous learning and growth to enjoy a creative endeavor. So I think it's awesome that they have that possibility there. And I was reading Lana's stories now, but there are a lot. So, but it's interesting to check out.
Yeah, sure, man. And I hope John's had a great weekend in Tuscany, because we saw some some raw footage. Yeah. Leon. It was Leon from setsback.com. He sent me a video from him and John's in the middle of the night
with a bottle, right?
They hadn't had a bottle, but they were completely drunk.
No wonder he hasn't replied to my Slack message. Okay, all right.
So they had a great time, John's, in Tuscany.
Okay, John. All right.
Maybe we can insert that video now. No. Just joking. Just joking.
Yeah, okay. I have him ready here. So no. Let's better not do that. No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, welcome, Mo. Let's give you a proper welcome.
And you're not Satoshi Nakamoto. You're the first one that really shouts that you aren't. So
yeah, is that frustration or is it some disappointment there, or what's that?
I don't know what that was. I think I was just totally blown over by that question. I was like, who asked this question? Not. But apparently you guys do.
Yeah, we do it.
So if you're not Satoshi Nakamoto, then who are you?
Drum roll. No.
Yeah, drum.
My name's a bit of a tongue twister. My, you know, everyone calls me Mo, but my full name's Mogashni Naidu, even more of a tongue twister. And, you know, you can call me the UX research evangelist in the Bitcoin design community. I'm a UX designer, but my focus is on research. And I work for Spiral, and I'm pretty active in the Bitcoin design community, where I'm waving the UX research flag to all of these open source Bitcoin and Lightning projects.
That's cool. Yeah, you're pretty active, but the thing is, I always prepare the yes or no questions, and then I'm always digging into someone's history, of course.
I saw you
have two Twitter accounts, because I told Ramon, who is our editor, do you have two Twitter accounts? Because I think I found you, but there weren't any messages. No, there weren't any tweets in that account.
Really?
Or maybe it's an impersonator. Yeah, really.
It's a hidden account.
So I was like, shit. Then I couldn't find anything about you on Twitter. But then Ramon shared me another profile of you, and there were a lot of tweets from you. So, but I don't know. Didn't you set up a different one back in the days or something?
I don't know. Do I? I have no idea.
Oh, then maybe we have
Steph
to...
Steph always finds those things.
No, but maybe we have to check. But maybe you have an impersonator or something. I don't know.
I will check for you.
It could be. I will check
Please
for you.
Please check
for
me. Please send over the link. I want to know...
It's a dangerous place, Twitter, right now. Yeah. So
I want to know if it's my account or if it's an old account that I totally forgot about or if someone is indeed impersonating me.
I think it's an old one that you forgot about. But I will search for it again. I will send you the link. So
Hey, but
great, man. You're also from Holland, and that's what we like. You're a woman. That's also what we like, because by far the most part of our guests are men. So it's great to have a woman back on the show. And I was thinking, because I asked you, Bitcoin's current design isn't ready to onboard the masses, and you were doubting so much.
Yeah.
What made you doubt so much?
Took you long.
You know, I feel, when I see the number of people that are currently using Bitcoin and Lightning products at the moment, and I see the enthusiasm and the passion of people for these applications, I'm like, yeah, these are the masses, you know, they are using the applications. But then at the back of my mind, I still think, well, hands-on, you know, I'm in the world, I'm working with the research, I'm interviewing the users. I'm like, well, we still do have a bit of a way to go. So there's a little bit of that part of me like, yeah, people are already using it. Do we call that the masses? Mm. But then, you know, being hands-on with it, and I'm like, yeah, we still do have a bit of a way to go, but we'll get there.
And it's difficult, but I mean, I'm always tricking myself because I'm completely in a Bitcoin bubble, you know, and I'm every day I'm thinking about it, and I'm talking to people about it, and well, especially we have our Rings of Fire community where a lot of node operators are in. So I think 70% of the people I talk to every day are about Bitcoin, and then I'm thinking, but the masses, the masses maybe even haven't heard about Bitcoin. So if you have to explain them what is Bitcoin and how to use it, I think, well, there's a hell a lot to do to improve that that design then for those people. So
that's... And making it easier for us to talk with non-Bitcoiners about
Bitcoin. Yeah, and to convince people or just to help them on board, right? So that's...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but you're doing a great job in improving that. And you're also contributing to the Bitcoin design community together with Christoph Ono, for example. Can you share with our listeners and viewers something about that design, or Bitcoin design community? What is it all about?
Yeah, I love being in the community. The community is about 2.5 years old now. And the mission of the community is basically to design Bitcoin for everyone. And to improve the global usage of Bitcoin. And, you know, we believe that that's really only possible if everyone works together towards this one main mission.
Yeah.
The community, you can think of it as like this little beehive, this online hub. Essentially, it's a Slack channel. You know, we're moving over to Discord, where all these open source Bitcoin and Lightning projects come together, hop in, ask questions, and they collaborate on building better Bitcoin and Lightning products for everyone.
That's great. So that's all about, I think it's great that so much people are busy with helping people educate each other and building stuff and making better products, right? That's what it's all about. So that's great.
And it's great that there is a community where like-minded people, like Christoph Ono. I talked to him at a meetup very long, and it was so... great to hear the enthusiasm and like you also have. It's very important to have those people together and work towards the future.
It's
really a mission.
It is a mission. He's great to work with. I've learned a lot from him, and we all, as much as we work hard towards the same purpose and the same goals, we have a lot of fun together as well. You know, there's a lot of laughing and tech jokes and Bitcoin jokes. It's, I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, and you also work at Spiral, but how did you end up there? Because that's quite of a, I saw your LinkedIn page also with things that you did before that. And I was curious, how did you end up there? Maybe the story is also interesting for others who are wanting to having a bigger part in the development.
You know, I was my background is in marketing research. So I'd been working as a marketing research consultant for many years. And then I decided, you know, I want another challenge. So I was looking for a different challenge, looked into front-end development. Nope, me and code don't go together. So UX design was the perfect area for me to study. A mixture of psychology and design and research. So started studying UX design. And then I thought, yeah, well, you know, I need to get some hands-on experience. But which industry am I the most passionate about? Which one draws me the most? And so one fateful evening, I was lying, you know, Google literally typed in three keywords, Bitcoin UX design, and I came across the Bitcoin design community. And I was like, hey, this is the place to be. And so I literally started jumping on calls, jumping on projects, started joining, collaborating. And then one day, you know, someone pretty much came knocking at my door and said, hey, you're doing some pretty amazing work here. Why didn't you apply to work at Spiral? Why didn't you apply for a grant? I was like, oh, okay. I can actually get paid to do this, you know? And yeah. And so I applied for a grant, and that's how I ended up doing what I'm doing now. You know, literally started doing it out of pure passion, and now I get paid to do what I do. It couldn't be better.
I mean, it sounds like living the dream, right?
Couldn't be better, honestly.
Great. Yeah, we prepared a lot of questions for you about, this part of your story, but also, the work you do at Bitcoin Design and the Summer of Bitcoin project. But it has to be in the 21 minutes. So, we would like to enter that part if you are ready, obviously. And Edward, if you guys are ready both, then we can enter that part. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm ready.
Connect the word.
Okay, UX design and Bitcoin, let's put them together. And what are some unique challenges you face when conducting UX research for Bitcoin products compared to other types of products?
Yeah, the first one that comes top of mind is, I'm sure you know Bitcoiners, they are really passionate about their privacy and their security. One of the challenges is testing out user applications on people who are sensitive about their privacy. You know, we cannot test out these applications on their own Bitcoin or Lightning wallet. So that's point number one. And the challenge number two is finding specific people to test out a specific application. So if you can think of Bitcoin Core, for example, people who would be maybe running their own nodes, you then need to specifically find someone who's running their own node, you know? So that is a niche within a niche within a niche within a niche. Need I say more?
And that's also, but that person also needs to be a bit tech savvy if he wants to test out some. I mean, I'm also running my node, but you don't want me to test some shit out because I'm totally going to break it.
Oh, Steph,
but if that's your goal, I'm your man.
Steph, I'm coming to knock on your door. Okay, thanks for sharing.
No, but I can imagine. But are there also, other unique challenges apart from the things you just mentioned, or?
It's definitely the privacy thing, you know. So the one is definitely, you know, once I've conducted my interviews and I've done my research, is really keeping the privacy of those people in mind. And, you know, my work is public. I work in open source, so I'm always sharing my work in public. But it's to make sure that all personal data from that conversation with that person has fully been removed to protect their privacy. So that's definitely something that's really important. And also, you know, the testing Bitcoin applications itself, you know, you need to have a fair understanding of the user interface yourself, because people will ask you questions as you're walking through the Lightning wallet with them, for example. So, yeah, it's taken me a while to find my feet and learn.
But you're never too old to learn, right? So
no, I'm always learning. I'm an eternal student, always a student.
Great. And can you share any examples of how your UX research has influenced the development of Bitcoin projects or applications?
Yeah, so I'm really happy. I get to work on Bitcoin Core along with Christoph Ono. You know, Bitcoin Core is one of the most technical, if you want to talk about technical Bitcoin products that exist out there, it's you know, I don't think you can get more than that. And you know, I started in just jumping on the calls, and, you know, now we're basically kicking off an entire UX research plan, strategy on Bitcoin Core for its next launch. And ways I've influenced it, you know, definitely having an eye for usability and for UX heuristics, which is like what makes an application actually usable for a user, and actually seeing that from a different perspective and pointing and mentioning that to the developers and the designers. It's definitely a way that I've personally contributed to the current development of Bitcoin Core app that's being built at the moment, and it's about to be launched.
Exciting!
That's very
yeah. We'll you know, in terms of the research, it's now we're kicking off the research on it, so it's a really exciting time. It's really exciting. Yeah,
can imagine. Yeah,
yeah. And you also had an advisory role at the Bitcoin Beach wallet, right?
Yeah. So the guys at Galloy basically reached out to me, Andrew and the team, and you know, they were kicking off some research on the Bitcoin Beach wallet, and they brought me in to kind of consult with them on whether they were running the UX research process correctly. So, you know, we jumped on a few calls, and I kind of guided them on how to structure the UX research process, anything that they might not, things that they might have not have thought of, any questions, and, you know, because they had specific goals that they wanted to achieve as a result of conducting the research, and they needed those goals to translate very directly into the design process itself.
Yeah. It's probably good to know for our listeners. They changed also their name to, Blink? What was it? Blink, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
And how do you balance the needs and desires of users with technical constraints of developing products for the Bitcoin network?
Yeah, this is such a good question. When I saw this question, I thought, wow, these guys really know what they're talking about. it's one of the most delicate balances because, you know, I'm the voice. I see myself as being the voice of the users in the room, and I'm always bringing their voice into all of the conversations and into the design process. And there's two sides to the story, because the Bitcoin and Lightning applications wallets, let's say a Lightning wallet, for example, it needs to have a certain level of complexity. You know, there's so much going on underneath the hood. They're connecting to a channel. A new channel is created for a transaction to go through. And so how do we make sure that we reveal enough information to the user so that they trust the entire process that's going on? But at the same time, how do we humanize it as well so that we're not revealing too much of information so that they think, what is this? Like, I don't want to put my money in this application because it's too scary.
A great example talking about this is the Breeze wallet, because when you install the Breeze wallet, it's just every let's say kind of tech-savvy person knows how to use that wallet, but you can also switch on the developer mode. And then, then you see it, channel management and all that kind of stuff. And it can be a bit frightening, I can imagine. So it's good that they put it behind a switch, so that by default it's switched off, obviously, for people who just want to use a simple wallet.
And if you want to have people, it's the proof that it's custodial, non-custodial, that it's a real neutrino node, or so the complexity is amazing, but it needs to be at the background.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
And it needs to be shut off by default.
The thing is all of the complexity cannot be, you know, in the background, because certain things do need to be revealed. So that's why I said this is such a good question, because I think that's a unique challenge with Lightning wallets is how do we hide just enough complexity so that people get this trust in these applications to just use them and, you know, use them on a daily basis, use them more. Yeah.
Totally agree. And can you discuss any upcoming projects or initiatives you're working on to improve the UX of Bitcoin products?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I'm working on three main projects at the moment. So I work on Bitcoin Core. I spoke very briefly about that one. Another one that I'm still working on at the moment is Wallet Scrutiny. Wallet Scrutiny is a website. The entire team is basically focused on revealing the security of Bitcoin and Lightning wallets. So how secure and safe are Bitcoin Lightning wallets? And they use the word reproducibility. So is the wallet reproducible? And that's one of the projects that I'm working on at the moment. You know, they try to review as many wallets as possible. And the goal of that website is really to create this very open platform where people can make very educated, informed decisions about which wallet to use and which wallet provides the highest level of security. Mm-hmm.
And Mo, how do you envision the role of UX research evolving in the Bitcoin space in the upcoming years?
Basically, from what I've seen is that the people working in the space, they're really creative, out-of-the-box thinkers. I really love working with everyone that I work with. And what I see happening is I see Bitcoin, the Bitcoin and Lightning space, really creating and weaving its own path in how UX research is done. I don't see UX research being done in the Bitcoin space in how traditional UX research is done in other spaces. And why I say that as well is because while working in all of these projects and whilst taking in the more traditional Bitcoin UX research practices and methodologies into these projects, I'm seeing that they're being, adapted and changed for the needs of that team. Mm-hmm. So while UX research is now still very much in its infancy in these open source Bitcoin and Lightning projects, I definitely see more and more teams being very, very open to adopting using UX research in their projects. And what I envision is that they're going to take these traditional UX research methods and they're going to slightly turn them on their head and they're going to make them more fun and they're going to just do their own thing with it, which is what we're already doing slowly but surely.
Cool. Hey, and yeah, we also want to talk to you about the Summer of Bitcoin project. Maybe you can tell us what is the focus of the Summer of Bitcoin project and what are the students now working on?
Yeah, so this is one of the things that I'm helping with mentoring at the moment. I submitted two project ideas. One of the project ideas was Saving Satoshi. This one Christoph's working on with a whole bunch of other people. And this project Saving Satoshi is basically, it's an online gamified educational platform to learn about Bitcoin development. I mean, what could be better than that?
Perfect combination.
And if you see the visuals, they've AI generated visuals for this project. It's absolutely beautiful. It's an absolute pleasure watching them work together. So that was one of my project idea submissions. And my idea was, hey, let's do some UX research on the Saving Satoshi platform and let's see how people experience it. So, you know, students are coming up with their research proposals at the moment. They're sending them over to me. I'm reviewing it. They have different ideas of how to figure out the problems of the users and so on. And the second project, which is another one which I'm really excited about to see what comes out of that one, is how do we design an accessible Lightning wallet for people who have visual difficulties?
Oh, cool. Yeah. Because, okay.
Yeah, visually impaired.
Because it's all on a smartphone, obviously. So
yeah, how does a blind person use a Lightning wallet? You know, why aren't we designing Lightning wallets for them? And what would a Lightning wallet look like for someone who would be blind? And so they're tackling this really unique challenge. And, you know, once again, I'm super impressed with the proposals and the ideas. They're taking first a UX research approach, first understanding basic accessibility principles, and how can we bring those principles into Lightning wallets?
Cool. That's great.
Yeah. And how has building a UX research toolkit in public helped shape the development? Because you're doing it in public, and there are any specific instances, for example, where community feedback significantly influenced the project's direction?
Yeah, that's been so much of fun. So as you know, I blog weekly about the Bitcoin UX research toolkit that I'm working on. And I share my work. I don't only share my work within the Bitcoin design community, but I also share my work in a research community, which is an open research community. And one of the ways that my work actually really pivoted as a result of sharing it in public was, you know, let me try to think of this, how to present this example. So the toolkit is essentially for Bitcoin and Lightning builders. So these, my idea are these little teams, and they're going to have to go jump in and think, okay, which research approach is going to be the best for me? So I started out with this almost like this mind map. And I said, okay, well, the first question they can ask themselves is my product new? Is my product I'm building new, or does my product already exist? So I thought, hey, these are the two best entry points for them to enter into. Is it new or is it an already existing project? And then they would ask themselves the next question. And then the next question would basically guide them to which US research methodology they would use. So basically, I threw out my thought process, and a couple of other researchers said, well, actually, no, we think you can actually think about this differently. And they basically turned it on its head and they said, well, no, we need to think about the problems that these teams are actually facing. What problems are these teams facing? Okay, let's think of a practical problem. Our users, we've had hundreds of our users complain specifically about this specific pain point. How do we fix it? How do we come up with a solution for that pain point? So we thought about actual questions instead that these open source teams would be asking themselves. Mm-hmm. And we start with that question, and then we move out into, well, that's the research methodology that's going to be the most appropriate for you. So they basically just turn my work on its head.
Great. And can you discuss the importance of documenting projects within the community and how this process benefits both the project themselves and other open source projects looking to learn from their experiences?
I think it's really important to document projects within the open source space. Everyone is not only so willing and open to learn from each other, but it serves as this online, long-term living journal where other teams can go back to and refer to, oh, how did Bitcoin Core app make these decisions? How did Wallet Scrutiny make these design decisions to build the current website that they have? You know, very often we only see the end product, yeah, and we don't see all of the messiness and all the messy decisions that were made by the group and how those decisions were made. And I think it's really important for other projects to see that messiness and for that to be out in the open.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's really important. Yeah.
Yeah, then everybody can see the path that you all took. So that's really interesting. Yeah. And when thinking about the Bitcoin Core V1 launch, can you provide some insights into the UX research plans around it?
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with the UX research here. See, I told you we try to have fun as well with what we do. So something really fun. We were on one of the calls. So at the moment, the approach is going to be threefold. So we're going to take three different angles to understand how users are experiencing the new application. The first angle is a very traditional method. We're going to basically launch a survey and have people basically just fill in a couple questions, developmental questions, which are focused more on development, a couple other questions focused on design. The second part that we're going to be doing are sort of one-on-one usability tests. And then I'm going to be knocking on Steph's door because he said that he wants to know. So he's already volunteered himself. Thank you very much. I'll be messaging you probably sometime this week. And then the third method that we're going to use is going to be really fun is we're actually going to have a call in the Bitcoin design community itself.
That's a great
idea.
And
we're going to be, in that call, we're going to have the developers who've actually built Bitcoin Core. And then we're also going to have, the designer Christoph and then myself as well. And we're all going to invite the community to jump on the call with us. And we're going to observe how they use the new version of Bitcoin Core app. And that's going to be such a nice opportunity for everyone, the entire team, to see, you know, how are they enjoying it? This is they've been working on this for months now, years, some of them. So yeah, it's going to be a really fun experience.
That's great. That's great. And yeah, we also want to know, how do you, what was your first experience with the Lightning Network? Can you tell us something more about that? When was it and what did you do exactly?
My goodness, I still remember, the first time must have been about 2 years ago when I jumped on my first call within the Bitcoin design community and I heard them talking about QR codes and channels. And I thought, is this another language these people are speaking? You know, which language is this? Like, it's not English, clearly. You know? And And yeah, now I, you know, safe to say a couple of years later, a few months later, I definitely understand what people are talking about. But I'm very grateful to say that, you know, when I entered into the Bitcoin design community with people like Stephen Delorme, he was very active in saying, hey guys, you know, who doesn't know about Lightning? Like, we're going to have a Lightning educational call now. Anyone who doesn't know about Lightning wallets, jump on and we'll help educate you. And I jumped on a couple of those calls and I asked a whole lot of questions. A whole lot of questions. And yeah, that's how you learn. So yeah, that was one absolutely. Of my first experiences yeah.
Did you use it yourself? I mean, yeah. are you running a node maybe? I mean...
Now, if I tell my fellow Bitcoin guys at Bitcoin Core that I don't run a node, they'll be like, no.
Why?
No, I don't run a node, but I definitely use Lightning wallets. It's part of my work. I have at least two on my phone at any time.
Yeah.
Because I'm always testing the interactions between both. My first time researching a Lightning wallet, I would say was when I started off on my grant. I always knew that I wanted to research Bitcoin wallets. I just didn't go down the next level of saying a Lightning wallet because I didn't, you know about Lightning wallets then. But I somehow had the vision in my mind 2 years ago that I wanted to research Bitcoin wallets. I just was like, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. And so that's how I came along.
Yeah, which ones do you use most?
I can't say that I use them the most because I'm always testing different ones.
Yeah, of course.
So at the moment I have Breeze and I have Phoenix on my phone. Those are the two that I have.
Yeah, the Phoenix wallet is also an interesting wallet because there it's made very easy to onboard because it doesn't ask or show the seed. At first, so that's a big difference. Yeah,
and good point you made there. Good point you made.
I was thinking about it. For me, it was so differently that when you're inside this, then you don't recognize it when it doesn't ask for the seed or show the seed. So it's very weird. And then you learn that's to make it more easy, of course.
You know, in some ways, that's almost a little bit clever because I don't know how calculated that decision was on their part. But, you know, when you try out a Lightning wallet for the first time, you're not really sure if you want to use that Lightning wallet long term. So then introducing the seed phrase all the way at the end, not necessarily during your onboarding flow, might then give people that. I just want to test it. Yeah. Like, does it work? Is it good? Do I feel it meets my purposes? So in a way, it's a little bit smart, to be honest, putting that at the end.
I hear the TikTok and I we have a couple of Lightning questions. But what do you see as an expert as the most important feature the Lightning network is currently missing?
As an expert. Well, a UX Goodness expert. Me.
Yeah, UX expert. Yeah, like you know, for instance, the Phoenix wallet doing things differently. It's like a commercial.
I think that the Lightning wallets, and this is going to approach it from a more of a UI perspective. I think that the Lightning wallets can have a little bit more personality in how they're designed and how they're being presented to users. You know, at the moment, the interfaces, they're quite similar, the interfaces that are being built. And I think there's so much of room for a bit more personality to be introduced into the design process and really suit in very specific user groups.
So diverse that out so that specific groups can use specific wallets for their needs.
You know, target one very specific group of people, you know, I don't know, Lightning wallet for students, for example, really target a specific group and build for them. Build for their needs.
Very interesting. So another time, it would be great if there's much time ahead of us and there are a lot of changes, then it's great to speak to each other again and go over those, the interesting future of Lightning.
Yeah, let's do that.
Definitely.
This has been super fun. Thank you so much.
Connect.
Yeah, we still have one question left for you, Mo. And the fun thing is, Edward and I don't know which question it will be because you have to choose yourself. So we have three people, previous guests, people we like, friends of the show, of which we pre-recorded questions, and you may pick from one of them. We have a question from Hakuna. He's from Tunnel Sets. From Ton, he's a fellow Dutchie. He's from Lightning Checkout. And from Zeverin Alex Bueller, and he is from lnrouter.app. So you may choose.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah.
Difficult, right?
Let's go for the first one. He has a really fun sounding name.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. Let's go for Hakuna.
Oh, I know the question. This is going to be fun.
Okay.
Here
let's
it comes.
Hey, I'm Hakuna from Tunnel Sets. My question is, what do you think about artificial intelligence creating JPEGs and NFTs paid with Lightning on the Bitcoin blockchain?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think about it, Mo?
That sounds super cool to me. I mean, you know, we've been using AI art to generate so much of stuff within the Bitcoin design community. And I've seen such beautiful images being generated by AI art. So why not use AI art generators to generate art and then have people sell them on the Bitcoin network? Yeah, why not?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I have nothing to add up on that, Edward, right?
No. This is great. Thanks.
Соединим этот мир.
So where can people follow you, Mo? Can you maybe shill your Twitter or, well, all the projects you talked about?
I'm going to shill. So
yeah,
my Twitter
come on,
is my Twitter is Mogeshni Naidu. I'm going to spell that because I know that that's no one's going to get that on the first go. So it is MogeshniNaidoo. And then that's at Twitter. You just type that in Twitter. Awesome. You'll find me. Yeah. And if you want to come hang out, please come hang out. Join us at the Bitcoin Design community. It's bitcoin.design. You'll find the link to the Slack on the main homepage.
Awesome. Yeah, let's definitely do that. Well, and thanks to everybody else listening. And thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks everybody to help to connect the world with us. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, Connect the World. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Adios, Mo.
Tot ziens.
Bye-bye.